Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles podcast. Eagles or Eagles, I don't know. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much unlike the Palace squad, we have a fully fit squad ready to rock and roll for you today. So joining me is Dale Courty. How are you, Dale?
Wouldn't say fully fit, but carry on.
Well, look, when you hit 35, if you're able to get on and log in and talk properly, then we'll take it as fully fit.
42, so okay, yeah, fine, take it.
Exactly. Marky Mark, how are you, mate? Relaxed? Good to go?
Very relaxed, mate. Very zen here at the moment. Fresh off the massage table, and got a few of those knots worked out, and but I'm feeling good. I'm up and about after a day in the sun on the tools, working on some concrete slabs. It was horrendous up here in the heat, but all the better for seeing your boys' faces, and yeah, unlike the Palace squad, fighting fit.
Lettery will get you everywhere, mate. And last and very much least, Ned Rock in Melbourne. How are you, Ned?
I'm wonderful. I mean, it's been a little while since I saw you, so that was it was all good up until that point. Been able to see Dale twice this week, so I mean that's always a good sign.
Yes.
So that's not too bad. Not too bad.
And there is photographic evidence of you seeing Dale, and Dale looking so enamoured with your presence. Was
lovely, thank you.
Friend of the pod, Tony King will not be invited to do any future photography. I wouldn't have thought, based on that image, which will never see the light of day.
A picture tells a thousand words.
Picture tells a thousand words, and I ate 2,000 of them. So.
I think the highlight for Ned was definitely seeing, he got to see me tell Akia something, and Akia just peered at me over his tablet and raised an eyebrow. I was like, Dad.
Brilliant. It was better than any eye roll you have ever offered on this show.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
Yes, it
apple
is.
Apple not far from the tree.
Agreed.
All right, fellas, so we're at the second international break. We have, 12 points lying in ninth place? So are we punching well above our weight in a moment, Dale?
No.
Okay, moving on.
We're not. Like, the table suggests that there are two teams below us who in terms of name and money spent, should be above us, and that's United and Chelsea. And they may end up the season ahead of us, they may not. And aside from that, like, you know, why are we punching above our weight? We've been in the Premiership 10 years, we've got a half decent squad. The Palace Vortex, ninth to 14th. We're sitting perfectly within it.
Okay. Ned, agree?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been decent, without being absolutely spectacular. It's three spots above the 12th that we all imagine we probably will get to by the end of the season. But I'm hoping that perhaps our little map this year, instead of being a straight line, might be a slight speed hump, just to really add some entertainment to the Palace roller coaster.
Indeed, the last two home games, there haven't been much entertainment. Obviously, I've only watched the highlights. I've only taken on reports, so that it's not been that much fun. But at least I didn't waste my time with them. Marky Mark, how are you feeling about it?
I wouldn't say punching above our weight. We're probably at the top end of where we should be, which is 9th to 14th. No doubt we'll work our way to the Coventry spot of 12th before or by season's end. But I think all things considered, going well, given the injuries, obviously, first season without Will. Yeah, exactly. That guy banging in Champions League goals at Old Trafford for fun.
Anyone scores at Old Trafford, mate, that's not impressive anymore. Anyone can do that.
Okay. We did not do it. So, yeah, you know, it's without I think, being groundbreaking or setting the world on fire, probably about par, you know, if you gave it a percentage, maybe 51-55% on or around there. I think probably doing well, all things considered. But all things considered, we're probably hovering around exactly where we should be.
I'd say we're doing well, all things considered, is almost how I feel, I think. Like with everything that's going on. I think I also read somewhere that our start of the season, we were playing like six of the top 10 in the first eight games or something stupid, of last season, sorry. Six of the top 10 of last season in the first eight games was ridiculously difficult. But then if you look at the fixtures from this season, all the teams in the bottom half, they've all had, they've just kind of reversed. And my prediction of Brentford struggling has come to fruition currently. So the start hasn't been as daunting as it could have been, I think. But, you know, we've got some games coming up which we'll talk about later on that I think are going to tell the tale of our season a little bit as people start coming back. But I think we're going to have to touch on the injuries. Right, so how many, is it 11 players we've got out at the moment? Is it 11?
Just the
injury 10. 11. Two more than any other team in the comp.
Wonderful.
Is Gyro injured or was he just clinically dead from cramp? I think that's what tells us whether we tip above Chelsea or not. But in fairness, Chelsea do also have 713 players, so having like four injuries is not really that
dramatic. Exactly. I believe it was, from what I've heard, it was a groin strain, but I don't know how serious it was, whether he'd be available for, you know, a couple of weeks' time. I believe Doucouré should be back in. And that's the other thing. Has anyone seen any timeline on Lerma or Elise? Like, they keep from talking about Frank might be back in the squad soon after the international break. Doucouré should be back. Not heard anything about, we know Elise has had the setback. We've not heard anything when he might be back. We've not heard anything about Lerma, who knows how severe the hamstring was he did on international duty. Anyone heard anything as a sidebar?
Was it? I know there was a video. Was it of Doucouré, like in training, and Roy or someone got upset that everyone's like,
"Oh, that was Franca." That was Franca, because everyone's like, "Oh my god, he's coming back!" But like, he was just doing being a body. He couldn't do any of the team stuff.
Yeah, right. No, I don't know about the core,
I thought that Elise was next after the next international break, but I also didn't realise that the next international break was now.
Then he had the setback.
Yeah, I heard after the setback, but who cares? He's injured. It's fine. Move on.
His last season with us, he's not going to play, isn't he? He's not going to play at all for his last season with us. Wonderful.
I think it's really good that for club spirit and for club morale, after all of the grief that Nathan Ferguson has taken over all that time, that the rest of the group has decided to show some solidarity with him. I think it just shows what a caring club we are. I'm really proud of, you know, all those guys for just getting around him.
Yeah, I think, look, just with the injuries, right? The people have said you've got to start questioning the such and such department, or especially what we're doing in training. And I said it in the WhatsApp. I think there is some questions have to be asked around how many minutes players are playing when they don't necessarily need to play all of that time. But then when you get yourselves in a pickle against Plymouth away, you need to chuck on the likes of Eberechi Eze, and that's what probably stresses them beyond the limit of where you want them to be. But then if we look at some of the injuries, like Lerma was on international duty, Elise, the original injury, was international duty. And then others, like they just happen. Like Yairo, if he is injured, he hasn't played. That was his first start since February. Or something stupid. It's 26 months or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been before that.
So he was bound to get injured if he didn't come off. You know, some of these things, we, they happen, right? And it gets compounded when it all happens at once. But this is why you have a squad. And as I said, we are technically two players short in our squad because our squad should be 25 players. It's only 23. So technically we're two players light. And if we don't get people back, then it will be a real concern. But again, this is why you have a squad. And I know, Celts, you're not happy because Schlapp starts and whatever else, but everyone's fit. Schlapp doesn't start. And that's fine. And I don't know if people are expecting us to have another Ever Eche Eze sat on the bench. Because if he is, then we're not Crystal Palace, we're more like Chelsea. So
if you ask the commentators from our last game, Dale, we do have another Ever Eche Eze sat on the
bench. Oh yeah, his brother. Yeah. that was brilliant. But yeah, so you know, I just think that whilst obviously you don't want all these injuries to happen at once and it's not great, we are doing okay. We've now got this international break and we'll get some players, and I think we're proving that maybe our squad is okay.
I don't think our squad is strong enough, and I agree with you that if everyone's fit, then Jeff Schlupp doesn't start. But the fact of the matter is, at least they got injured in the summer break, like in that international whatever. We knew Wilf was gone, knew Wilf was leaving, and we didn't bring anyone in at all.
Fancher.
But he's apparently not a left winger. He plays as a striker. I don't know. We put all our eggs in the Etiquette team. Oh, I can't even say his name. Basket, who can play across the front three. I absolutely agree with you. Some, like, you know, Lerner was international duty. Not much we can do about that. They obviously, you know, at least say not, it was before the season started. But there's been two or three games this season where you can see the players are out on their feet, like knackered. And this one does come on Roy. He hasn't taken them off. He just left them on there, and you can see these people, like, and this is where the, you know, strength of it, like Ahamada, you know, ankle strain in training, annoying, so you can't kind of bring him on. And then you lose to Koury, and then Lerma. So Will Hughes has to play 90. Like, and he doesn't trust to bring Ozo on, for example. Whatever. That's a separate thing about trusting the younger kids to come on. But there were times when we had players on the bench and he just refused to make us up.
Yeah, but I think going back to your original point, yeah, Elise was injured and we got rid of Wolf. Don't just go, all right, well, need a new winger, that'll do. If it doesn't fit in, or the person's not there, or the price isn't right, and as we heard, there are apparently two deals at the club were pretty certain were going to happen, which fell through at the 11th hour, not because of Palace. Like, it's not as unfortunately, it's not as easy as going like that. Saying we should get Andros Townsend back. The guy hasn't kicked a football since he did his ACL. We need to get him back. Like, that's nonsense.
I don't agree. I don't want that. And people made a good point, right? So in your jobs, in all of our jobs, if we're like, you know, you've got a job to do, so this is the thing we need to do X, and you try everything you can to do it, and it just doesn't get done, you fail at it, you get chewed out, right? And if you keep failing at it, and you keep making the same mistake, you lose your job, right? So I would argue, and I'm happy to be shouted down here, that in the past, the only really good window we had was when we bought in Elise, Gehi, Anderson, Doucouré.
Be quiet.
But Edouard. I think, the previous bet, good one, was when Allardyce fire sailed and brought in Van Aanholt and Schlupp back then. I mean, what other window do you think we've addressed? We still haven't addressed right back. Still haven't addressed left back for years. These have been the glaringly obvious holes. And as I said, in our squad. So, happy for you to disagree with me and happy to the arguments, but I don't think it's Dougie Freeman, because I think he's proven that he's got an eye for a good player. Something somewhere's broken, I think, because this keeps happening.
Where are the glaringly obvious players to put into these glaringly obvious holes?
That's not my job, mate. I don't own, have a
it's
scouting
very easy to say it's glaringly obvious. Well, if it's glaringly obvious, you should be able to see it.
Well, it's glaringly obvious. Right back. Joel Ward is our right back, backed up by Nathaniel Clown, that has been since Aaron Wan-Bissaka left the club. Before Aaron Wan-Bissaka was at the club, we haven't signed a right back since, what, Jack Hunt? I think it's the... Oh, no, yeah. So Nathan Ferguson got injured, right?
Mate, we...
Striker. All season last year, we would rip into Edouard and Mateta.
Listen,
we can't just get rid of... We have to get rid of one before we can get one in.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but I'm not Mark. I'm not a Joel Ward. I'm not the leader of the fan club. But, and he does make mistakes, as do a lot of players. That's why they play at Palace. Like, our defence is actually pretty good. And the striker situation, turn around and go, oh, we need a new striker. Okay, cool. So we can go and spend £20 million on another striker. And guess what might happen? Guess what will probably happen? He won't score. Because unfortunately, we are a club who don't have the money to go and spend £100 million on a striker who's guaranteed goals. And us and, well, everyone past outside the top seven is trying to find that striker. And not just us, all the teams in Europe, all the teams around the world who are professional football teams, they're all trying to find it. And it's not like we can say, well, there's someone just around there who's going to score us 30 goals. We'll take them, and no one else will know about them. So this is not feasible.
Well, yeah, I'll back Rob up here. And annoyingly, so Brighton are fucking killing the pig on that front, not just with strikers. So we need to get their cheat sheets or something.
So I was speaking to somebody about this at work. He's a Brighton fan. And was it you as well, Ned? I spoke to several people about this, didn't I? And Brighton have this, what is Tony Bloom? He is some stats analytic.
Yeah, the same thing, same type of thing as Brentford.
Yeah, so that's it. But stats. Also, let's just note the fact here that Brighton, with all their woohoo, how good are we, are 300 and something million pounds in debt. And that, for us, is definitely not sustainable. And their strikers, I actually don't remember the last time they had an absolutely top-notch, well-beaten striker, because they currently are playing with Danny Welbeck up front. And before that, it was Neil Mopay. So, yeah, they find a couple of gems, but they're also finding clubs who are stupid enough to spend silly money in them. All right? So, Cucurella, for example, was how much to Chelsea? And he is turd. He has been turd.
Okay.
This is the risk we're going to take. I understand what you're saying, Mark. I understand what you're saying, Rob. But if we go the best striker we've got in terms of value for money and what we get out of them and the work rate they put in is Jordan Ayew, because he costs £2.5 million. So in that regards, he's an absolute snip what we've got out of him.
I agree. You're not going to any argument. And okay, to your striker point, you're 100% right. Every club on the planet is looking for a striker. If you look at our squad there, because Edouard has proven this season that with, you know, I think he's looked better. His finishing is good. His movement's a lot better because maybe they're putting the ball in the box a little bit more. When Elise got injured, you look at our squad and you just think, right, everything is going to run through Eze. Just like everything had to run through Wilf. Now everything had to run through Eze. And the thing that's glaring to me, I think, is a massive fuck up. And this is what I'll not be argued with, is we haven't used one loan signing spot just to cover a hole. You know, you don't have to go and spend 20 million to bring someone in that's okay. You can, I don't know. I know it's not that easy, but we could have gone and got a loan signing from somewhere. To like a winger that's, you know, sits on the bench, like Sinisterra, for example. I know what happened. We chose not to get him.
But we tried to get a loan signing, and look what happened. The club kiboshed it at 11th hour.
That's a massive fuck up. That's a massive fuck up from them.
What? Because Chelsea turned around and said, actually, no, we're going to take the 25 million pounds.
You know, you listen. If you know, with the Sinisterra thing, that they thought that was done, and they chose not to do it to go after the other bloke that didn't, the PSG bloke that didn't happen.
I'm talking about Hall.
Yeah, no, the whole thing's that's out of I feel sorry, to be honest with you, I feel sorry for him. How much has he played at
Newcastle? Yeah, but hold on. We can't feel sorry for him and go in one breath. We can't feel sorry for him and say it's a massive fuck up by us. Like, we haven't used a loan signing. We tried to address
it was
screwed over by Chelsea.
I feel sorry for
him. We just do not know how often that happens. We don't know.
I
hate it when mum and dad fight, Ned.
Yeah, I know. It's the worst, isn't it?
Quickly, and very quickly off topic, why are you masquerading as Lisa Seltzer?
Wife's computer.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
It's Thursday, that's why, mate. It's Thursday.
Oh!
Yeah, that's it. I should have shaved. The other thing that frustrates me the most is that our core, as has been proven this season, our core of Johnson, Gehi, Anderson, Doucouré, Lerma, Eze is the strongest core we've had for ages, and we could have built on it, and we just didn't. The Dean Henderson signing has been ridiculous, by the way. That has been silly. But anyway, you've been unbelievably quiet.
Just on that one, I think with the Dean Henderson signing, I don't think the Dean Henderson signing stopped us from signing anyone else. So I think in that regard, you know, we identified, rightly, wrongly, we won't know that for another 12 months, that was a potential signing that could give us something either long-term or get us something to cash in on later on. We thought that was an asset, whatever, done, dusted, you know, add him to the injury list. But we won't know about that one, but I don't think that signing has stopped us signing anyone else. It's not like you can only sign one, you can only focus on one deal at a time and that's it. So I think that's much of a muchness. Just to come back to a couple of the other points, and this is sort of something I was chatting to Dale about on the weekend in terms of when you look at your Brightons, and I think Brighton, while we, you know, it's very frustrating to see them doing well at the moment, I think everyone, it's not just us, is looking at Brighton and taking the approach that Rob has got there of, oh, it's easy, we just go and sign a bunch of people and then your team's better.
I never said it's easy. Not once did I say it's easy. I just think that we haven't done it particularly well. I think we fucked it up a couple of times.
I think we have done it quite well, but what we're doing is we're doing what all the other teams are doing and comparing ourselves to a team that has done it exceptionally well recently. But I was saying this today on the weekend, I think Brighton having that sort of success has done clubs like us a massive favour in the fact that they are, you know, signing all these players and playing this lovely football and succeeding. For every Brighton, there's 10 teams that have decided to come and try and go to the Premier League and go, oh, well, look, Brighton can play nice football, so we'll try and play nice football. And we sit there with our counter-attacking style saying, thank you very much, don't mind if we do. You can pick up 6 points for the season in total for your lovely passing football and getting beaten 17-1 each week. And we'll pick up our little 1-0 victories and, you know, go ahead. So, you know, you lose the likes of, you know, your Southamptons, your Norwiches. Who else have we got that was coming up? I've forgotten all the teams that have come up and gone down, but there's a truckload of them.
Stoke.
Yeah, that try and sort of play reasonable football because they think they can attack because one team has succeeded at it. So I think we sort of, as much as annoying as it is, Brighton are very much the outlier. And I think if you look at our recruitment, how many misses have we had recently in terms of players that we've signed who you've gone, geez, that player was absolute dog shit in the last 4 or 5 years? There's not a lot on that list.
We haven't signed a lot of players.
We haven't sort of just signed no one though. We haven't had huge windows, but we also haven't lost huge numbers of players.
But that's almost a problem, right? So we keep players, and don't send them when we can make a profit on them, and then lose them.
And that's another potential thing that we can do. Is yes, you could absolutely get.
Who's that happen? That example that Rob's just given, where we just keep them and don't make a profit of them. Who were the players who we had the opportunity to make a massive profit on? Wilf. We kept him.
As in, as in a business sense.
So yeah, so
is that business? I mean, that's a cap. I was just going to say, do you mean like brought in and on sold?
Well, either way, like if there's a player who we could have sold with the academy power to make a mass to make money on, I can think of who we didn't cash in on.
Luka.
We needed Luka. The time when
I'm not saying we didn't, but I'm saying
the time when Luka started getting rubbish, no one was going to buy him. But he was clearly he lost it.
No, I don't.
Wilf. Mm-hmm. Wilf, obviously, right? Went for free, originally a lot of money. Aaron Wan-Bissaka could have gone for a lot of money. Oh, he did. And then who else are we actually going to sell? We didn't have assets to sell. Scott Dan, he was 50 years old. Damien Delaney, we bought his control. We couldn't sell him against
making profit. Dale, what you just literally just said there, who could be sold at the height of their powers, right? So we could have sold Luka when he had those two brilliant seasons. We could have sold him.
So why would we
have sold him? Yes.
But Rob, why would you have sold at that stage our club captain, the heartbeat of us, who we needed, but why would you have sold him?
Rob, I want to go back to podcasts, Rob, where you were absolutely tearing shreds off the club at the mere suggestion that either Eber Echiesse or Michael Olise could get sold for... Why didn't we make $45,000 bazillion from Luka Milivojevic? Unfortunately, the other clubs only want to pay big money for the ones that are actually any good. Either you're happy for us to sell Eze and or Olise, or you want us to...
I'm not happy, but that's what we're doing. We're clearly doing that. That's why that's why we gave Olise a new contract, and to kind of protect his value up that release clause or whatever it is. Because we're going to sell him.
Instead of sign a player who was a risk, we made sure that we kept, just like with Wilf, we made sure that we kept players that we felt were better than ones we could sign. We're not going to sign a player better than Michael Olise if we sell him. We're not going to sign a better player than Eze if we sell him. We weren't going to sign a better player than Wilf if we sold him, so we didn't sell him.
Yeah, I have another question, possibly not an answer. So with Henderson, obviously that was a chance to bring in, let's just say, a prized asset at the club, and was more about a business point of view than on the field perspective. How do we get return on that? If, like, obviously you got to ask old Johnston and get him in the shop window, don't you, and have him going well to turn a profit? Because then if we do that, well, I won't cut now, or not now, nose off to spite our face a bit, but Sam Johnston's been pretty awesome, I reckon. And so, like, does he just get the shit into the stick for that to play out then? And then we sell Henderson and make a bit, and Johnson goes, we can stick it up your ass. I'll fucking ran through a brick wall for you and see how you treat me. And then where are we left?
Well, I think with that one, the plan is more a cat with the plan. What was more a case of you have two superstar goalkeepers. One of them gets to play in the cup, really push the other. They both perform. If people know that one of those goalkeepers is available, and someone desperately needs a goalkeeper, then whether it's they come in and they offer big money for Sam Johnston, who's flying, or they come in and offer big money for Dean Henderson, who's a good prospect, either way we cash in, because we have the capacity to have two very good goalkeepers, potentially sell either one of them, it doesn't really matter which one, make a profit and still have a decent goalkeeper on the books. I think that's the plan, or that was the plan behind it. Whether that works out or not, who knows? We're 12 months away from finding out how that works out. But I think that was effectively the theory, was that 12 months ago, everyone's looking at Dean Henderson potentially being the number one goalkeeper at Manchester United. If he'd stayed at Manchester United, he probably would be the number one goalkeeper at Manchester United at the moment, because Onana is shit. But that's a side point. But it means that if we sort of looked at it and gone, people were willing to pay 40 million plus for it, we're looking at potentially paying 40 million plus for him 12 months ago. If we can get him, keep him in some sort of decent form, and we have him for 20, then potentially if we sell him for 40 at some point, fantastic news. Otherwise, we can potentially get 25, 30 for Sam Johnston, and then you've still got a ready-made quality backup ready to go. I think that's the theory. That was the theory behind, the business theory behind that.
My fear is we're going to be left with, we're going to have Sam Johnston in goal, And we're going to have a Dean Henderson who is fit for a quarter of a season for the rest of his contract.
That's my thing too.
That would be Pete Palace, yes.
Yeah.
And appreciating in value, in my opinion.
Yes, and leaving on a free transfer.
Which
is weird, because, like, it, I mean, if, for example, the long term, like, they brought Henderson in for that, the long term number one thing, you think they really obviously rate Goodman, and you've got Whitworth there as well. They obviously rate quite highly. So then the talk Parrish talks about, you know, pathways for kids, and I'm not expecting them to walk straight into the first team. But, you know, if you have Johnson for 2 years, then by that point you hope Whitworth or Goodman are ready to go. They, like, Goodman's in League Two, where Whitworth should be as well. Then they go up to the Championship or League One, Championship, and then it's Premiership. And then by that point, Johnson's contract's done or ready to go. And those guys come in and that saves us that 20 mil. Whereas if you've got Henderson on a 5-year contract.
No. Well, I think, as I said, I think the theory with Henderson was that, based on how highly rated he has been, is that 20 million was under market value, effectively. So if he's a goalkeeper that's worth 40 million, you can get him for 20 million. Fantastic. That's a good piece of business. The problem that we're now having potentially is if he does seem to be as injury prone as he could be, then that 20 million suddenly evaporates. So it's a risk, but given how highly rated he has been for the first few years of his career and the longevity of goalkeepers, it seemed potentially, I can understand from a business perspective why you would do that deal.
I'm to be convinced on that one. I certainly see the logic behind it, absolutely. But I think for that deal, with the players we have in the pipeline, I'm to be convinced on it.
I don't think he was signed necessarily with the intent to be a long term number one for us. I think he was signed. I think we signed him as an asset to be sold.
That's my take on it.
That's done well.
Just wasn't sure how it was all going to play out. But anyway, going swimmingly at the moment with him injured.
Isn't it just? Right, so what do you want to do? We've got 3 minutes and 55 seconds left on this meeting. So do you want to bother talking about the next games coming up, or just go jump into Aussie stuff?
Aussie stuff.
You're the boss.
Is there any Aussie stuff to talk about? So let's talk about Aussie stuff. The next few games are fun. We've got Newcastle, Spurs, Burnley, Everton, Luton. We've got to win at least two of them.
Okay, moving on. 12 points. Move along.
Of course.
Nine points, and Josh will score the winner against us for Luton. Carry on.
That's true. Sorry, again, I take that back. Yeah, 9 points.
But yeah, we've got to lose. We've got to lose money off the Spurs, don't we? That's the rule.
That's true. Yeah. Speaking, so which segues beautifully into the Aussie stuff. Mark, take us away.
Oh, doesn't it? What? All hail Super Ange, who's
making up trees. Time up.
I guess that kind of joins a few dots, doesn't it? To start with, Ange Postecoglou, coaching up a storm in the Premier League, or finding it easy peasy at the moment. The darling manager of the Premier League doing good things over there and keeping it simple, and is everyone's darling at the moment, can do no wrong, top of the table. So good on him.
Undefeated English Premier League manager in history, I would assume.
Yep, he's undefeated at home in his last 52 games, which is an astounding stat. There's still some pundits that are like, whatever, I don't get it. He's got nothing. He just says mate a lot. I'm like, all right, champ, he's fucking first 8 weeks in the Premier League. He's pip and pep. He's top of the table, but he's got nothing. Righto. Good on him. I can take a leave Spurs, but I'm just stoked, mate, that he's come in and sticking the middle. Well, he's not sticking his middle finger up at anyone. His actions or his results are. So I'm just glad that some bloke from down under has been written off by every mob that he's gone to after leaving our shores, and doing what he does. Long mate, continue. He went into the Socceroos camp today or yesterday to have a bit of a chat with the boys. Jedi made an appearance. Aussie Gus Hiddink was there. Got the band back together, Graham Arnold. And, mate, it gave me goosebumps because, yeah, we've got a friendly coming up against the mob that fans themselves. And, yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing a bit of Ange magic can rub off onto the boys. Obviously, ex-manager of our national team here. Sorry, Ned.
Just a quick question about that one. What happened last time Australia played England in England? I've forgotten.
Well, it's funny you say that, Ned, because there's a saying in football and sport that you're only good as your last game. And I think, from memory, boys might be able to correct me here, last time we played, something along the lines of 3-1, 3-0, around there. Absolute drubbing.
Brilliant. Francis Jeffers was playing. That's all I'm going to say.
On the English. And then, of course, the ensuing excuses will follow. Oh, we made 11 subs at half time. Oh, you're still shit. All these types of things. You know, a win, lose, or draw. You know, England will still be the moral victors, I'm sure. But we'll see. I'm definitely looking forward to recording that and watching it, you know, after I come back from work on Saturday. I'm trying to start my phone. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. I think that was a long time ago. Was it 2003, I want to say? Haven't played each other since.
Yes.
In the men's?
2003, then we beat you in Rugby World Cup on your own shores, so whatever.
Oh, rugby. What's that, the 9th or 10th biggest sport here in the country? Daggers in my heart, Dale.
Oh, yeah. A sport that you definitely don't care about at the moment, I'm sure.
Definitely not at the moment. Bloody, who would have thought Portugal couldn't beat Fiji and stop them getting the bonus point? So, anywho, yeah, got that friendly coming up. I think we'll play New Zealand a couple of days after that. And then, yeah, not a lot of other Aussie gear going on. Of course, one bit of Aussie gear on these shores is our national meetup, which is coming up fast. Once Christmas is here, next up, Aussie national meetup here in Bruce, Vegas this time around. Which is the weekend of the 9th, 10th and 11th of February. So everyone should be recovered from Christmas cheer. And up and about, it's going to be up here. A lot of the details are TBC. Getting a bit of grief from the boys down south and WhatsApp that I don't have this buttoned up by the first week of October. But fuck me, didn't think I had to. So no doubt I'll get my nose to the grindstone and sort it all out. Obviously, we'll have a trek out there to Ross's fantastic brewery, Bacchus Brewery. I need to get out between now and then and survey a few Patonk courses or possibly Bull fields to right some wrongs that were had in Adelaide, I think. Ned, you're nodding in agreement.
Yeah, make sure that we pay the officials this time. We'll have none of that bollocks. From Adelaide, I think if Jurgen Klopp can demand a replay, so can we.
Exactly.
I've also heard that Paul Shelley wants to know the massage place you went to this evening.
Oh, okay. Well, get some vouchers or get some sort of 2-for-1 deal happening. But that's exciting.
Neon sign outside the door.
The multicolored open sign. That's the tell. So I'm told. Yeah. So yeah, that's exciting and coming up, mate. This last weekend we had the FFA Cup final here, and in true Brisbane form, we screwed the pooch and fucking lost that too. So, Dale, your 2003 Rugby World Cup shit is way back on my list of grievances, bro.
How many national competitions have Brisbane lost the final of in the last 2 weeks? Yeah, it's a few. But you got me. That's what's important.
Yeah, of course, all the fucking boffins at Sportsbet or whatever going, they're chucking in the women's Titans and the fucking this and that. It's like, all right, mate, slow down. But yeah, it's one of those things like, would you like to lose by a small margin or have the lead close to the end or just get fucking battered and say we're never in it? So I don't know. My term in the big dance, I had something to shout about. At stumps when, you know, 18 other teams didn't. So, whatever. We're still in the window, as they call it now. So we'll be back next season. And, Yeah, we'll see what we got. So the other thing did hold me in good stead, Ned, for the FFA Cup final. Didn't remotely get excited when we scored, nor when we had the lead in the 70th, because I was like, well, we'll fuck this for sure. And sure as eggs, that's what happened. So, yeah, you know, beating Puppy and all that jazz, I'm just beating in the submission at that point.
At least I didn't disappoint you then, Marky Mark. You said they're going to stuff it up, and they did. So there you go.
That's right. Didn't disappoint me, nor the entire contingent of supporters who went down that literally could have been put in one bus. We had upwards of 46 supporters there. And the whole stadium, it was comical, as was the result in the end. So not to worry. First time at the big dance, you know, they say you got to lose one to win one. So, you know, I'm clutching onto all these things that losers say when they don't get over the line.
Not like my Central Coast Mariners, though, mate.
Can't hold a candle to them, mate. So, bits and pieces happening. Looking forward to the friendly and picking goals is great. I'm really wrapped. Like, I never had a second team in the Prem. I did when Kale was running around at Everton, but after that, I haven't. And I'll stick my flag in the sand, mate, and nominate Spurs as my second team this season by virtue of one A Postecoglou, who is my old manager as well. So I've best in
everything was fine until that last little bit there, Mark. You kind of ruined your monologue with that little bit there.
Ah, well, you see, I can take it or leave it, mate, because I'm not English, so I'm certainly
going to leave it, but thank you very much.
I think, Mark, you've been a little bit too inspired by all those near misses that Brisbane have come up with. Decided to go for the team that is renowned for the most near misses, putting the pressure on. So it's a very Spursy comment of you as well, so we'll let you get away with it just this once.
I'm getting into the vibe of the whole thing, Ned.
Cricket's not going too well either, Australia at the moment.
What's that for?
What cricket's on? Like, cricket never stops.
There's a World Cup.
Because we've lost our first of 10 pool games.
No, because South Africa are currently 2 for 177.
To be fair, everyone's been making massive scores in the
world. They have been, in fairness. Quentin de Kock is
104.
I'm looking forward to not watching a second of the Cricket World Cup as well. I'll add that to the list of World Cups I haven't watched any of. Good.
Much like Powerf, mate.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, no, I know. That's a filthy lie because I watched the 3-minute highlights. So, and you know this. That's a filthy lie. Right.
Love it. None of that. But anyway. All good fun, isn't it?
Well, very much looking forward to the Bris Vegas meetup, Marky Mark. Looking forward to hearing the plans there. And I think the XL Eagles will be in up there on mass, I believe.
Yep.
So we'll attempt to do an XL Eagles pod live, probably fail and get some drunken ramblings at some point during the weekend, as we always try and do.
My job.
Absolutely. Yeah. There'll be a bit of that, mate. Coming up then, Robert. I don't think you made the line.
I am. Bruisey one. I am indeed. No? I am indeed. I'll be up.
Cool, man. Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Dale, you heading up that way?
I'm more a yes than a no at the moment.
So there's Ned. Dale's just pulled out.
No, you've heard it then.
Yeah. Yep. He and Tony tried to very subtly suggest that potentially they may not be coming when I met up with them on Sunday, and I bullied them relentlessly and managed to upgrade the probably not to a probably will based on flight sales. So
and work for me, because it is, I think that week is Big Bash finals week, so just got to keep an eye on work as well.
As long as the Sydney teams do terribly, Dale should be fine.
Yes, mate, and now my allegiance is kind of switched from pink to green, so...
Don't worry, Mark and Ned, I will be in attendance. That is happening. It has already been cleared. I have the pass for the weekend, so we're all good there.
Excellent.
Well, fellas, that was good. That was feisty. As usual, I was right, which is always nice to know. As well. So thank you all for eventually agreeing with me and seeing from my point of view. we'll hopefully pod again before the meetup. Who knows? Because I mean, our plans of doing this regularly have fallen by the wayside. As always, maybe we'll pod around Christmas. How about that? Christmas pod.
We'll squeeze one in before then.
Yeah, I'd say so. So thank you very much, Ned, Dale and Marky Mark. Guys, all you book that date, those dates in your diary. Was it the 9th, 10th, 11th of Feb? Was that Mark?
9th, 10th, 11th of February, 2024.
Get that booked in your diary, and we look forward to seeing you up there and up the place.
Cheers, boys. And that's how I got covered in massage oil. Back to you, Rob.
Oh, my God, what a story. I cannot believe you just missed
that. I know, that right?
Most incredible. You'd be arrested in 90% of the countries in the world for that. How you got away with that, I'll never know.
Me either. Yeah, that yarn would soil Paul Shelley's ears.